This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Sports Daily, rocking and rolling on a Thursday, a cold Thursday. Hope everybody's staying warm out there. Your legend begins aboard the Disney Destiny, the all-new ship from Disney Cruise Line, sailing November 2025. Log in and listen to KFH on Odyssey for a chance to win a trip for four to set sail on the Disney Destiny in this national contest. All you need to do is listen for an hour on the Odyssey app. Find out more at kfhradio.com. We'll have a chance to win some HTO as well this hour. It's cold, Tommy, but it's not snowy, rainy, drizzly out there today, so I guess we'll take that as a win. But bundle up. Drizzle. You know why Snoop Dogg carries an umbrella, Tommy?
For drizzle. Yeah. I wouldn't have gotten that one, but you said the word drizzle before, and so you kind of spoiled the punchline a little bit.
I walked you.
That's not
it.
Worthy of a laugh track or a rim shot.
Because it's one of my favorite jokes. We'll let Max be the judge of whether it's worthy of a laugh track or not.
You tipped your hand.
Yeah, I did. I was waiting for to find out if you had your burrito yesterday.
Yeah, I like that.
Yes. Burritos new. That's for drizzle is one of my go-tos. Like, I'll tell that joke 7 times a year. This time of year, because I love it so much. So I got to tell you about this bet, Tommy, last night. So I don't even remember. I know what I got on. I got on to look at the shocker line. So I get on to look at the shocker line last time. I'm like, well, what are we expecting here? And it was like, okay, there it is. And then I was like, bonus bet. What if a bonus bet? And I look, and it was for $96, this bonus bet. And I'm like, what the hell? And it's because, like, on one, it was on the ESPN bet. I had hit that first touchdown that I said I hit. Like, that apparently was a part of a big, like, jackpot sweepstakes that I forgot all about. And because it hit, it was like, and you get your share of blah, blah, blah for bonus bets. I guess that's what it was. Had to be. But it expired yesterday. And I'm like, oh, no, I have to find a bet. It's a light college basketball slate. You couldn't do like a same game parlay on the Shocker game. And I'm like, all right, I'm not betting the Shockers. I'm not spending a $96 bonus bet on the Shockers. So then I start to look and I'm like, I'm going to have to make an NBA bet. And then I'm like, you know what? It's kind of free money. We got to do it. We got to do a parlay here, right? Like, we got to parlay that in. Of course. Why not? Because I'm a sucker. And so I'm like, what am I going to do here? So I went with my guy, Austin Reeves, former Shocker, for whatever it was, not points, but like rebounds and assists. I had seen somewhere on the internet that was a good one. And then Jimmy Butler just got traded and he's on like my fantasy basketball team that I'm not very good at, but I'm like, oh, let's throw him a bone here. And he got it. And then Nikola Jokic was the last one, I think. And I'm like, 25 points for Jokic. Like I that's easy. He gets that every game. And he got 26 points last night. And I think Butler cleared his by a point or a half a point. But I hit it. I hit it.
There you go.
It's NBA bet of the season, basically.
It's probably a good thing you didn't bet Luka Doncic, though. Like, he did not have a good game.
No, I'm not.
For
I'm
the
not
Lakers. Like, it was his worst plus minus that he's had in a game this season. I think he was like minus 20 or something in his game. The Lakers lost to the Jazz. The Jazz are not very good. So I don't know. Yeah. I mean, like, that was not a good. I'm glad you didn't put the money on Luka.
I didn't know. I would not do that. Speaking of Luka, like, it's so funny to me. Like, no matter, and we've said, like, no matter what happens the rest of his career, it's still a terrible trade for the Mavericks. The Mavericks could, outside of winning an NBA championship, like, nothing will justify the deal for Dallas, and they're not going to
have
win
you,
one.
By the way, have you been following just the absolute drama that's yes. been going on in Dallas? Like, the fans getting ejected from the buildings because they're saying fire Nico Harrison, and Mark Cuban is telling fans to, like, set the F down and shut the F up, and, like, all of that?
I have been. I actually have some sympathy for Mark Cuban because he, you know, he sold his majority stake, but he's still like a part owner.
Yeah.
He just doesn't have any power. And I'm like, that has to be excruciating for him to see this all play out. Like, this thing you have worked so hard on, this thing that, you know, before he became a political lightning rod, like, he was considered one of the great owners, right? He was passionate about it. He had revitalized this franchise, which was a total non-factor before he got there. All of those things. And I don't know the reason he sold his stake or whatever, but he does. And then to see this happening must be one of the more excruciating professional things you can imagine, right? This thing that you've built. It's got to be tough, brutal. And I do have some sympathy for him, but it ends there. I don't have sympathy for anything else. This is one of those things that will lose fans. I don't even know. Like, I really enjoyed the Dirk Nowitzki years. He's one of, if not my favorite player ever. And so I would have said in that era, I was a Mavs fan. But, man, I've also been a Spurs fan. There was a time where I've sort of followed players. Like, I loved Allen Iverson. I was a 76ers fan for a little bit as a kid. Like, there's loose allegiances, I think, in the NBA, and this will cost them dearly. That's why it was such a dumb trade. You can't do that with that dude that everybody loves, that is one of the best young players in the league, and they deserve every bit of what's happening to every single ounce of it. Nico, whoever he is, I don't even know what it is. I've never heard of this guy before he made this trade, full disclosure. He deserves every bit of it. Because there was no reason to do it. It was an arrogant move. It reminds me of when, over my career in years past, like going way back, not even here, not even in Wichita, but situations where you'd see like administrators get too big for their britches and make decisions where you're like, what are you thinking? And there's like ego involved and like, man, like there was what not to, no, because nobody cares, too long ago and nobody will know who I'm talking about. This happened in a situation two markets ago where a coach was fired. And it was like, what? You did what for what? Like, why? And it was a total disaster and devastating, like devastating to the long term success. They've never recovered. Never. Still to this day. This was 12 years ago. Never recovered. So what's going to happen to the Mavericks here? Like, they're not going to recover from this. You don't. They already let Jalen Brunson walk away. Now you let Luka Doncic go. Like, franchises beg to have either one of those types of players, and they're in, like, for over 30 year stretch they had two of them and they let them both go. Like, what are they doing? And it's going to cost them fans. So they deserve all of it. They deserve every bit of it.
And it's absolute comedy gold that Anthony Davis's first game with the Mavericks, he goes down with an injury where he's going to be out for multiple weeks. I mean, that's just cinema. Like, just the icing on the cake. Right,
like Anthony Davis is, and I feel terrible for him too because he's awesome. Like, he's so good. Never does anything to make anybody mad. I really like Anthony Davis, and he's going to become the fall guy in this, which sucks for him. Like, that's not fair either. There's just no winning scenario or no winning formula here for the Mavericks. So back to the original point about Luka last night, the Lakers also, like, I don't know that this even makes the Lakers better this year. Like, Luka and LeBron on the court together doesn't make a lot of sense basketball-wise, but you just gifted that franchise their next LeBron. That's who you compare Luka to. That's who his game compares to, is LeBron's. Always has. And so it's like, all right, well, the Lakers just always get this gift in basketball.
Yeah, it allows them relevance for another 15 years, you know, after LeBron. It's kind of like that passing of the torch. You know, LeBron retires at some point. Luka takes the throne and continues to move forward with it, with the Lakers. And that's a huge reason why, you know, I think that, again, this was just an absolute shocker and just wild that the Mavericks made the trade.
It's just the stupidest. Imagine the Royals trading Bobby Witt Jr. to the Yankees for Anthony Volpe, right? Like, good player, you know, can still probably help you, but you just gave up the dude, right? Like, I don't even know how to put it into proper context.
Okay, here's a good one. Bobby Witt being traded to the Angels for Anthony Rendon.
Well, that, right? Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Kind of. But to the Dodgers for, I don't know what a good example is. But the point is, you don't trade Bobby Witt Jr. Yeah. Like, get out of here. Like, he wasn't, you know, he was on sort of an expiring contract, but that's less of a big deal in the NBA because you're going to, you just build around Luka. That's what you do. And your formula to justify it literally has a statue in front of the building. You build around Dirk Nowitzki. Is he the perfect player? Is he the best defender? Is he the greatest physical specimen you've ever seen? Nope. Guess what? He's awesome. He's one of the best in the game. And you'll eventually have the best chance to win if you can just figure out a way to find a team around him, which is what the Mavericks did with Dirk. Anyway, it's just what a mess. What a mess, and they deserve every bit of it. So now I'm like window shopping the NBA. I'm like, well, I don't invest much time in the NBA anyway. I'm definitely not investing in a Luka-less Mavs team. So I'm sort of window shopping a little bit. Like, what do we do here? I've always been a Spurs fan my whole life. I've always enjoyed the Spurs. My 99-year-old great aunt Johnny, who actually might be turning 100 soon, biggest Spurs fan you've ever met in your life. She lives in San Antonio. Like, talk Spurs with you all day. Maybe I'll just jump in with her with Wimby and what they've got.
You could jump in with the Rockets and Van Vliet down there. You could do that.
I've never been a Rockets fan.
How about the Thunder? I like the Oklahoma City Thunder. Why don't we look at them?
That's the other one. That's the other one. I mean, they're right down the road, and they're awesome.
And SGA is fantastic.
I've never had a pro sports team closer to me geographically than I have right now with the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're the closest team to us. They're closer than the Chiefs, I think, by a few miles. I'd have to look at the map. It's close. Yeah, I could totally get on board with that. Just buzz down. I mean, you know, I'm never going to watch them or never going to go to a game, but when the playoffs come around, I could root for them. So, yeah, maybe that's what I'll do. Or maybe I'll just jump on the Wimby train. I haven't even watched Wimby play much. I watch too much college basketball now. I tune in the postseason. Give me a break. They deserve it. They deserve every bit of it. Let's talk Chiefs offseason. Early takes, top priorities. What's the path? We'll do it next on Sports Day.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned, and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Thanks for listening to us over the air. Thanks for listening to us on the Odyssey app. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube X, all kinds of different ways you can get in touch with the program. We'd invite you to do that each and every day. Should have Tim Fitzgerald coming up in about 20 minutes from now. We will have that. We will get you ready for the resume of K-State. It's really what I want to talk about. So we'll do that in the next segment. How does that resume look? Dug in a little bit on that on the TV side of things yesterday. A few numbers and things to think about. Tommy, you sent me this. It's the new. There is a news item. The YouTube TV Paramount dispute. The timing of it is terrible with March Madness looming. You would think cooler heads would prevail and they can get this sorted out. Most of the time these things get sorted out, but there's a lot of times they don't. And so, yeah, as somebody who, you know, works and cares a great deal about the local CBS affiliate, this matters. And I hope it gets sorted out too. YouTube TV and Paramount now, including CBS, are, you know, in a measuring contest of sorts. And we'll see if that works out. Of course, we have no control over that locally, but it does affect us, and it sucks.
It's definitely interesting, I think, for your perspective, because you're a YouTube TV subscriber, as am I.
I know
you are.
Yeah.
You also work for, you know, the CBS affiliate. We're getting into March Madness, and, you know, hopefully things will get resolved by, you know, that point. But you never know. I mean, we're talking about Paramount in general, so not just CBS. We're talking TNT, TBS, True TV, even other channels like Comedy Central and MTV, VH1, anything Paramount related, that there's this whole dispute going on right now. So we'll see what happens with it. Hopefully cooler heads will prevail.
Yeah, I don't care about any of those other than CBS, I don't think anymore. it doesn't affect me much.
But yeah, but you got March Madness games that could end up that, like, that no, will end up being I, the, on the CBS, TNT.
The CBS part affects me. See, TNT and TBS are Turner, so you'd still have those. But
that's Paramount, yeah. though. Like, it does, doesn't that all, like, I thought it was so. All into the entire thing.
No, I think it's those other channels you mentioned. Turner has okay. TBS and TNT, so I don't think they'd be affected. But yeah, it's the CBS angle of it that I care about. Now, on a personal level, like Fubo, which apparently is a really good one, gets the Red Zone channel and everything else. Like, I'll just switch. I don't care. Like, I've got no allegiance to YouTube TV. They can kiss my rear. I don't care. They charge too much anyway now. So, but on a professional level, it sucks because, yeah, I work for the local CBS and I don't want to see these disputes. I know what they do because I know that our great staff's going to have to sit there and answer the phone. Be like, yeah, you know, but hopefully it gets worked out. Hopefully everything's fine. They've got plenty of time to do it. They got a month or so. And this is new territory. I don't think we've ever had a dispute with YouTube TV or a dispute with Paramount. So that's a little bit uncharted. Like, we always see that the disputes come with the satellite providers.
And by the way, you're right. Yeah, those other channels won't be affected for March Madness. I wonder if, like, let's say that this extends into March, would they decide to put, like, additional games on those other channels to make sure that people are able to see them? Or, like, what would they do?
I don't think so, because you can still catch a lot of you can get, and here would be your, so, like, if you're YouTube and if you're worried, you can watch K-Witch and CBS games over the air. Like, you can still get K-Witch with an antenna. You don't have to have anything to watch CBS for real. Like, you just put an antenna up and you get the signal. It's not as urgent. I think, like, I'll give you an example. My brother opened a sports bar in back home in Texas. I think in September, in August, there was one of these disputes that bled. I think maybe it was at like Fox and DirecTV or somebody, where they were not able to get football games early, or maybe it was ESPN and DirecTV. It was somebody who carried a lot of football games. That was a big problem for him because that's how he had to get his TV. I think it was ESPN because you couldn't just antenna it. And so that becomes a concern. But for CBS, like, the good news for CBS is it's over the air. Like, K-Witch, it's over the air. Like, we're over the air, we're fine. It'll be like, having to explain it 864 times a day is going to be annoying. But, like, I could lose YouTube TV tomorrow and I wouldn't care. I think most people feel that way. You don't have to install it. You don't have to have a guy come out and hook up a bunch of wires. You just go to one of the other streaming services that gives you the same thing for less money, by the way, and you'd be fine. So I think YouTube TV probably doesn't have the bargaining power it thinks it does. I think Paramount probably has far more bargaining power here because YouTube TV has a lot of competitors now, where people can go find what they think they'll be missing, and they'll just lose YouTube. YouTube TV will be there. To me, they're the ones that are going to have to concede here. And I don't know what the numbers are, but what leg do they have to stand on? Because there's 1,000 different ways to get your programming. It would be a mistake to me for YouTube TV to be the one that draws a line in the sand, because we'll just go somewhere else. You can't go somewhere else. You can't not have, like, if you're beholden to CBS or shows or anything like that, you're more beholden to that than you are to YouTube TV. YouTube TV just has the channels for you. They don't provide any of the content.
I'm going to have to tell my 4-year-old that Paw Patrol, you know, he might not get to watch that for a while. No, I'm kidding.
Or, like, you can switch providers, yeah, and you'll have
providers, man. You know, and then, like, we've got Paramount Plus too. So, like, and I know that YouTube TV is going to be able, like, I think they're offering a credit to people. So if you want to go and subscribe to Paramount Plus, you can do that with the money that you saved. So you can still get all of that. So, I mean, I think that, you know, eventually, like, one way or the other, it's all going to work out, but the timing of it is never ideal, but especially leading into March Madness, and CBS is a huge part of that. Hopefully it all gets resolved soon.
Just have some sympathy for all the people I work with, myself included, whenever I'm there, that are going to have to answer the phone. Pour one out for us, because if this lingers, like you say, into that, it's really going to suck. Hopefully they get the deal done. This kind of stuff is annoying for local TV stations to even have to deal with. All right. So that's out there. I think it'll get done. I'm hopeful. I'm a little nervous. I'm being 100% honest, but I'm hopeful. Let's talk about the Chiefs offseason, Tommy. We talked about Travis Kelce's role in it. I think it's a big one. And whether he plays or not will guide some of what they do in this offseason for sure. If he were to leave, it will, you know, they'll have $16 million, but I don't think they'll replace his production to the offense or his role in it for $16 million. I would tell you that. I would be surprised if they could, maybe, but that'll be one thing to keep an eye on. I don't think, however, it impacts the urgency or the aggression at which they will attack offensive line. They're going to need two of them, probably. I don't think there's a way they're going to be able to get Trey Smith done. Maybe they've done it before and they've surprised us before, honestly, on these deals, but that one seems unattainable right now because I think we'd all agree the greater need is at left tackle. Even though Trey Smith's one of the best in the business, and he is, what's easier to replace? I think we've learned now over the last 4 years, it will be easier for them to replace right guard than left tackle, something they've been working on now for 6 years unsuccessfully.
You've got to go all in on left tackle. And not just because they've had such, you know, a hard time replacing that, but because of how essential and important it is compared to right guard. It doesn't diminish Trey Smith, doesn't diminish what he's done in his career, and he's going to go to, you know, another team and be an all-pro probably for, you know, the remainder of his career. I just think that you've got to try to lean in totally and double down on finally getting a permanent solution at left tackle because that's such a crucial position, and we've seen what the ramifications are when that position is unsettled. You've got to go all in on that.
Well, and it's interesting too, because the challenge, the biggest challenges for Mahomes has been pressure up the middle, right? So you can make a case that Smith being able to make sure that pressure never comes is important. And I honestly think it's an interesting, think it's an interesting discussion, but you can't think of it as how good of a run blocker he is, because Andy Reid's never going to run the ball that way. Not consistently. You know, we've got a 30-year track record to show that. It will be, but there will be more options at right guard than there are at left tackle. The Chiefs have shown they're better at evaluating players through the draft inside the offensive line than outside the offensive line. And so we'll have to see.
I would rather them try to replace Trey Smith through the draft.
Yes.
You know, an earlier yes. round, you know, second round, maybe first. Third round, maybe even first round at right guard. But then you go and you sign a high impact left tackle in free agency if you can make the cap situation work. I think that's the way that you attack it.
I'll give you this, and it's impossible to imagine, but I'll give you a couple different paths that I'd be okay with. Either, and we brought this up last year and it didn't happen to the level that I'm talking about now. It happened to a lesser level with Kingsley Suamataia, who they traded up for. But if you could tell me that they would go up into the draft and take the premier or the top-ranked college left tackle, the top one, right? Not debatable, like, and I don't even know who it is because I haven't started to look at that stuff yet. But like that level of drafted, you know, offensive linemen. So I'll give you a scenario. So they sell out. They re-sign. They find a way to re-sign Trey Smith, and then they literally sell this draft out to move up and take the top left tackle coming out of college. I'd be okay with that path. I could rubber stamp that for sure. Far less likely, though, than going and attacking left tackle through free agency and then sitting where they are later in the draft and taking a few interior linemen to try and replace Trey Smith that way. Is there a path where they can do both in free agency? I doubt it. Is there a path where they could re-sign Trey Smith and go trade for another left tackle? Maybe. That's a sort of a third scenario. The good news is they don't, because Worthy has hit and Rice has hit, and because we both still think Kelce will come back, I honestly, like, there's not really anything else urgent in the draft. They'll get Pacheco back healthy. I know a lot of people have said running back. Maybe they take one late, but getting Pacheco back healthy is probably enough for me there. They'll have enough receivers. They'll probably add another veteran receiver through a cheap deal in the offseason. So they kind of, like this offseason, other than extending the window and making sure you infuse young talent into the roster, but I honestly, I think you can sell out and use that draft capital and identify like one dude and try to go get him, and to hell with everything else in the draft. That almost never makes sense. I do think it makes some sense this year, if it's out there, and it may not be. But if it's out there, this would be a year to do it if you're the Chiefs, because they don't have any other urgent needs this offseason. Like, what other urgent need? Other than if Kelce retires, they don't have any other urgent needs.
So consistently, the top three names that are really being discussed as the main offensive tackle prospects coming into the draft: Will Campbell, LSU; Josh Simmons, Ohio State; Kelvin Banks Jr., Texas. Those are consistently the top three guys. And you're talking about all three of them being projected somewhere between number 8 to number 15 or 16 in the first round.
Okay. And that would be, you could get there if you're the Chiefs. You know, you're not going to get up into the top 3 or 4 most likely, but you could get into the top 15. And so that is, but you can't, you have to do it now. And that's where the risk comes, right? So let's say you trade in and you're number 10, and I'm not looking at the draft board, but let's say you do that, but then you don't get the left tackle. Then what do you do? So you almost, but because you will have, if, and that's if you're going to go re-sign Trey Smith and you do all that stuff. What if you don't get the tackle? Then what do you do? And I think that's where there's the most risk there, because you can't guarantee what player you're going to get. You can project it. You can guess at it. You can't guess if somebody's going to trade ahead of you. You can't guess at any of that. So that's why I don't think that's the most likely. I think the most likely is Trey Smith's not a Chief, and that sucks. That's a bummer. But that's probably the most likely, and then they use all those resources, and they attack left tackle through free agency. That would be my guess. Now, they could attack left tackle through trade again and keep Trey Smith. But again, then you have the same problem you always have in the NFL. Who's trading a left tackle right now? Nobody, right? Like, nobody's trading a left tackle right now. Who would do that? Even bad teams probably have a good young quarterback, and you don't want to trade a left tackle away from a good young quarterback. You want to protect the good young quarterback. So the market would be bare, as it always is, which is why they always try to trade for right tackles who want to be paid like left tackles, and then bring. That's what the Chiefs have done unsuccessfully, by the way. And so I don't know that there's a propensity to do that either. My guess is they'll let Trey Smith go, and they'll attack through free agency, and they'll sign their left tackle that way.
And really, from a free agent perspective, it's really, I mean, wouldn't you say Ronnie Stanley or bust? Like, I don't think it's not a very deep free agent pool for left tackles. I mean, you've got Ronnie Stanley at the top. Cam Robinson is available. I know he had been linked a couple of different times to the Chiefs before. And then Tyron Smith, who's going to be a free agent also. Those are kind of the top three guys, you know, that are available out there in free agency, you know, as a left tackle.
Yeah, Tyron Smith, who is a Hall of Famer, is too old and too injury prone. I think Cam Robinson's probably good enough for me. And that may be, it may be those two. It's probably those two. Or bust. And
it's
they
not
know
like
that.
You have a lot of other options.
And those know. Two know that also. And I would imagine the Vikings have some desire to bring back Robinson, and the Ravens probably have some desire to bring back Ronnie Stanley, although with Lamar Jackson, it's probably less important to invest your resources there than it is for a lot of teams. So I don't know. There's never a lot of options. It's left tackle. It's hard. That's why it's hard. I would say this: if the Chiefs are in love with any of the college tackles, go move up to as high as you can possibly move. Right. And I don't even know what that number is. 4, 5, 6. I'm telling you, sell out to get your left tackle, because you can't have this conversation year after year. Mahomes, like, he's getting older. You can't let him take the hits he took for much of this year. You just can't do that. And they have to do it. Maybe there is a team that would be willing to trade. Is Trent Williams? What's Trent Williams' status? Isn't he always angry about something, but still really, really good? Like, what's he doing right now? Like, can you band-aid it again? The problem for them is they never pick high enough in the draft. And so then they have to get tackles that slide down a little bit, and it's just not working. It's not worked the last 2 years.
Let's talk about what Ronnie Stanley is probably going to get on the open market. So according to Spotrac.com, his market value, he's projected to get a 2-year, $41 million deal.
Oh, I'd do that. I'd be fine with
that. Yeah, but is there that kind of flexibility? Like, it's going to take some restructuring. It's going to take some things for the Chiefs to have to do to make something like that happen. But that's what he's projected to get on the open market. 2 years, $41 million.
When do we get, I don't know the answer to this, when do we get what the cap number is going to be? Because that'll help determine that. Trey Smith coming off the books is, you know, there's just no way they're keeping Trey Smith, which sucks. I can't see it. Unless they know they can get into a draft position and they love one of these players. I don't think it's there.
Go ahead, Max.
$272,500,000. A lot of money.
That's the new cap?
Yes, and the Chiefs are way at the bottom. They don't have the money. They have $3 million in, there are $3 million something in the red of effective cap space.
But they don't have, do they have dead money? Do you have dead money on there, Max?
Yes, I do. Dead money. The last column, $226,354,000.
So they've got some room there, and they would have to restructure, and they could. I mean, I think you could see restructured deals. It's a tall order is the point of all of this. It ain't easy to find a left tackle. It is Jacob Albrock. It is Tommy Caster. It is Tim Fitzgerald, publisher, gopowercat.com, at Life of Fitz on X. And we are following a story now. What has become the story for us around here, I think, of the college basketball season. K-State, by many metrics, is playing the best basketball of any team in the country since January 28th. It's for real. This is the team we thought we were getting before the season started. Took a really long time to get there. And now this story that becomes so fun to follow, Tim, is can they reach the NCAA tournament? And yes, they can. I pulled this up yesterday, and I'll put this out there, and then we'll get your take on it. So from what I could tell, and the net ranking, remember, is pretty new. So by net ranking in 2022, Rutgers got in as an at-large with a net ranking of 77. That's sort of the range K-State's been hovering right now. They're at 70. By losses, there have been, in the last, we'll call it 10 years, there have been three times where teams have gotten in with 15 losses. So it's very much there for K-State. Winning the two that they won against Kansas and Arizona, to me, is really what makes this more pot. Now, they can't stumble, though, much here, if at all. I think they've got room for one loss, maybe two if they can combine it with a couple of big wins, Fitz. But what a wild turnaround this has been.
It has been. It's hard to explain. I've tried to explain it a number of times. It's remarkable how this team is bonded. You know, sometimes – and something happens to your team and it brings everyone together. This was kind of a self-inflicted thing. It was suckage. They sucked and they were getting their butts kicked and the fans were upset. And that seemed to have bonded this team in a way that traumas do. And boy, they're playing really good basketball. We're still thinking they can lose two more in the regular season and maybe be on the bubble. We're not saying be in. And they've got seven to go. So they got to go 5-2 at worst. And, you know, that's building in a loss in Kansas City, because if they win in Kansas City, none of this math matters.
Right.
But, yeah, that would put them at 14 losses going into the tournament bidding process. So we'll see. I think certainly K-State is making a name for itself right now nationally. And, you know, these back-to-back wins have been – head turning. They've got to be for the committee, but we'll see. You just got to take care of business. You still got a lot of work to do, man. You probably need to win back-to-back games in Utah this weekend, and that's not easy.
I'm not sure that there's been a better player in America over the last five or six games than Doug McDaniel. I mean, just watching what he's done, there were moments in the game against Arizona where I'm like, man, am I watching Marquise Noel out there? Like, it just looks like, with his speed and the way that he gets to the basket, I mean, it's impressive to watch.
You know, earlier in the year, we didn't really see this because he was always looking for his shot, his thing. And I think now that we're into the season a little bit and they're asking him to do these things, to, you know, get creative and share the ball, it's like all these layers of his game are coming out. He did a crossover on the big man the other night for Arizona, and it was just sick. I mean, he just ended up his short arm laying it up, and the poor guy, 7 feet tall, had no chance to block a shot on a 6 foot, 5'10 guy. It was a thing of beauty, and he's doing this every game now. What's changed about him is he's sharing the ball at an incredible rate while scoring. I think in these last two games, he's had a combined 17 assists. And that's getting into Marquise Noel territory, but for one game. Still, he's getting there. And I think when we're finding out when Jerome Tang has a point guard like this, watch out. Watch out.
We stumbled in, Fitz, on accident to one of those real, like, fun, fake sports talk radio discussions yesterday. I said I think this is a great team, and I took some heat for that, but I stand by it. I do think this is a great team that played insanely bad for a while, but I do think the team we are watching currently is a great team. Do you agree with that?
I do. I've watched this team now win six games, and none of them were flukes.
Right.
None of them. They were the better team on the court for four of those games for sure. Arizona State, which again last night showed they're dangerous,
yeah,
even though they lost. That was a tough game, and Arizona was a really tough game. I think of the teams K-State played during this stretch, I'll say Arizona might be better, and home court advantage was the difference in that game. But this is not a fluke. This has turned into a really good team. This isn't a team getting all the breaks. They didn't play that well against Arizona and won. They went 1-19 from three, and that would have broken their back just, you know, 10 games ago. They'd be done. So it's interesting to watch this. It's fascinating to see how this team's turned around and went from not having a clue what anyone's role was to clear lines of what everyone's doing, and it's obvious, and it's a beautiful thing to watch.
I want to go back to the point that you just made, Fitz, about how they shot 1 of 19 from beyond the arc and still found a way to win that game. I had wondered, and I'm sure a lot of people had wondered, okay, when this team is not playing at their best, when they're not shooting the ball well, how do they find ways to win? What do you attribute the fact that they were able to actually pull that game out even though they didn't shoot the ball particularly well?
I think they have a lot more confidence in what they're doing offensively, because when they weren't shooting it well in the past from outside, they solved it by trying to shoot it well. You know, they just keep shooting, and they get into the 30s of 3-point attempts and just miserable output, and you're going to lose. Now they go about attacking the rim and setting up players for, you know, more efficient scoring opportunities, and that's what they did. And a lot of that's Doug attacking the rim, breaking down defenses, moving the ball extremely well. And they're now better equipped to overcome things, but they're just tougher. They outscored Arizona in the paint, which Arizona was apparently leading the conference in. And the team I saw earlier in the year couldn't do that. They couldn't out rebound someone, let alone outscore them in the paint. And now they're doing these things. They're out rebounding good teams. They're out scoring in the paint. They're getting they had 13 steals against Arizona. Doug McDaniel had 5. The defense has ramped up so much. It's a little bit of everything.
I want to ask you about two parts of this team specifically that took and have taken heat a lot throughout the course of this season. Coleman Hawkins, one of them, mm-hmm. who, again, I try to point this out to people all the time. Like, statistically, and what he's doing on the court is not different than what he was doing when they were losing. And I think he took too much heat for the wrong reasons, because that's just the player he is. I want to, like, how is it going for him off the court? And then Jerome Tang, who also took a ton of heat. And some of it was self-inflicted by the things he was saying.
Yep.
But there was some real concern, and I think the three of us have had it, and most K-State fans, like, was that first year some sort of illusion? I think now that's so far gone, and we're not even, like, that's not even in the stratosphere anymore, because now you're finally seeing the capabilities of the coach too. How have things changed for those two in all this?
Coleman Hawkins, I think, has played some really good basketball. Again, he wasn't great against Arizona, but he wasn't bad either. He does a lot of glue things that when you're losing, seems like you're not doing anything. When you're winning, people notice that. All those little things you did. He is a tremendous on-court leader. And there strikes me, though, there's a little more self-awareness here. He didn't feel like he had to do it. He had to keep shooting for this team to win. You know, he got the ball to Gaston. He got the ball to other people. He's an incredible passer. And I think he's playing really well. And he's playing well within a team concept. And I've never seen that. Honestly, he's one of the most balanced players I've ever seen. There's really not a weakness in his game. He can defend at a high level. He can score if needed. He can rebound. He's an incredible passer. So all of that adds up. Coach Stang's having a blast right now. He talked about it in his press conference the other night, and the fact that when they've gone through this trauma that they went through, now to be on the other side of it is a relief, but having all these wins prove that they are a good team, I think it's fulfilling and relieving, and in a word he loves, it's joyful. And they're just having a blast right now, and they can't lose sight. They just can't. They've got to be 1-0 every time out because every win counts, but now the losses are you got to limit those. That's really your enemy right now.
Well, they're on the road next at BYU. BYU's a team that has been bubbling around, you know, the top 25. Like, they're a good basketball team. I'm not sure that they've gotten the attention that maybe they deserve.
Nope.
Nationally, what's it going to take on the road against BYU for the Wildcats?
They're really good. As Jerome Tang said, you know, they got a couple legitimate high picks on their team. And now these two teams are essentially tied. They are tied in the conference standings. And essentially, K-State's trying to go in there and steal their bubble spot. It may not be immediate, but that would be what they're doing. And this is a brand new, challenging environment for Big 12 teams to go into. The Marriott Center in Provo is a pit. I mean, it's 18,000 seats, and the fans are all around you. They're all screaming. Not a single one of them's drunk. They're all invested in the game. They're eating ice cream. They got pastry breath. It's a beautiful thing. And then to stick around in Utah and then play Utah on Monday, it's quite a turnaround. And KU's doing the opposite, going Utah, BYU. I kind of like this, actually. I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. It is a cool scheduling quirk and one of those things that'll come up. All right, Fitz, what do you have for us at GoPowerCat.com?
Just plugging away with our coverage. A lot of VIP stuff's been going up lately as we try to break down this basketball team, what they're doing, how they're doing it. And we'll just persist with that. It seems to be working pretty well for the team and for our subscribers. But a basketball podcast went up yesterday as we talk about all these things. And we'll have the Friday shoot around on Friday, previewing this weekend in Utah and with Clint Stewart, former player, and our Ryan Gilbert. It's always a great show.
All right, and we'll be following along. Jerome Tang back in the national spotlight as far as it comes with college basketball. Everybody's talking about the Cats. That's probably not a bad thing. Helps, I think, when resumes are stacked up against each other. Fitz, we appreciate it.
Thank you, boys. Good to see you.
There goes Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, our K-State insider. Always good perspective. Bringing the heat on what it's been like there, boots on the ground, and it's very different. Hey, if you want to win some HTO, you can do that right now. All you got to do is text to win. You can win a free iced tea, more than 26 flavors. You can win a iced or hot coffee drink. While you're in there, try the new poppy combination drinks. But you know, the poppy soda cans, poppy soda and tea. You won't believe how good they are together. So when you're getting in there to get that free drink, try one of those two. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. All you got to do is text the keyword TEA to the short code 20357. That's T20357. Good luck on that, everybody. When we come back, we'll tell you what's coming up on the network tonight. Speaking of those Wildcats, we got something for you here on KFH, your home of K-State Athletics. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.